Well, glory to God. I'm glad you're here today. Are you glad you're here today?
Yes.
Are y'all enjoying your life?
Yes.
You ought to be.
Yes.
There is no shame in enjoying your life because Jesus died to give you an abundant life here in this earth. And you ought not feel condemned or guilty because you enjoy it. Amen? Somebody needed that today. Well, let me just start with this. I want to read the Word of God. But let me do that. I think it's best to start with the Word of God. So let me just read out of Psalm 51, the Amplified, and you don't have to put it up there. But verse 10 says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right, preserving and steadfast spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then will I teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted and return to you." Create in me a clean heart. Man, he did that when he sent Jesus to the cross. And when Jesus died for you, you became born anew. You became a new creation. He took that old stony heart and turned it into, he recreated that heart, that flesh, heart of flesh. Soft, subtle, good ground. He created in you a new heart when you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And now, it is our responsibility to teach others. Amen?
Amen?
Oh, y'all thought it was my responsibility to teach others. Oh. No. Yes, but no. It is the church's responsibility to teach others. Amen?
Amen?
Well, before we get, how many is ready for the Word?
Amen.
Let me just give you a little update. This is going to just, you're going to be jumping up and down. You're going to jump right out of your shoes when I tell you this. The contract on the land fell through. That's okay. Nikki and I, when we found out, God, there's something better. There is something better. We are settling for something that is not God's best. That's all I can believe. And that's where my heart is. That's what I am believing. That's where my faith is. That's where I'm standing. I ask that you stand with me in that. Seek God's face. And I believe, if we believe what Scripture says, the Holy Spirit will reveal it to us.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
That's what we're going to talk about today, the Holy Spirit. But we are not moved. Don't be moved by this. I am not moved by that. I am not saddened. I am not cast down. I am encouraged. Well, how can you say that? Because there's something better. Something better. So I am not moved. Don't be moved. Amen?
Amen?
We've been talking about the Holy Spirit. You know, it says that He will lead and guide you. He can tell you things that are going to happen. So I believe as we just pray and seek the face of God about the purpose of that land. I believe that land has a purpose.
Yes.
I believe it does. I don't care if it was an afterthought. I don't care if it was done with not the right intent. I don't care. And that all may not be true. But it does have a purpose, and it will serve the purpose of the kingdom.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
So we've been talking about the Holy Spirit that way. And if I was going to put a title on this, I'd entitle it Blow with the Wind. Blow with the Wind. Oh, boy. What's that going to be about? Blow with the wind. Well, turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and let me share very familiar scripture. I know it is because I probably talk about it almost every Sunday, or I have been lately. Ephesians chapter 4. And let me start in verse 11. And you probably know where I'm going, but you may not know where I'm going to end up. Verse 11 says, "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Right? We know that. I've been telling y'all that for a while now. You've heard it all your life, I'm sure. Verse 13, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Until we're all built up, right? You are all sent out to minister until we're all built up unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we, and here's the point I want to get to in verse 14, "that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and by cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive." Tossed to and fro. Now, the word wind in this passage here is not the wind that we talked about last week. The pneuma, the breath, the wind of God. It is not. It's anemos. I'm not a Greek scholar, so if I didn't pronounce that correct, you can tell me later. It's anemos, or gust of air. It's gust of air. This is the same wind. Where am I from? This is the same wind. This is the same wind. The same wind that Jesus rebuked in the boat with the disciples. You remember that? Remember they were all marveled and said, "Who is this that commands even the wind and the sea?" And they obey and obeys them. Even his disciples were moved. They were tossed to and fro. Even after, this is, remember, this is right after he fed the 5,000. That miracle. And they're in the boat and they're being tossed to and fro by this wind, by this animos. But we will not be moved. We will not be tossed aside by the sleight of men, like Scripture says. We just read it. And in fact, this wind that it was talking about is the same wind that distracted Peter when he was walking on the water. Remember that? The Lord was out there making it to the other side. They saw him, were startled. He called to Peter. Peter went out, was walking on the water with Jesus. Saw the wind, saw the animals, and it distracted him. It took him off his game. It took him away from his focus, that wind, and he was tossed to and fro. We will not let the sleight of men distract us or move us or cause us to lose our focus. Can you agree with me that today? The sleight of men. I said I wasn't going to say it again, but COVID was a man-made sleight of man, and we will not allow it to move us, to take us off of our focus. What is our focus? Jesus is our focus. The ministry of reconciliation is our focus. And we'll not allow these things to move us. We'll not allow a contract falling through on a piece of land to move us. We will not allow circumstances that come upon us to move us. We will not. What is our focus? Jesus is our focus. What is our focus here at CGC? Well, if you have your bulletins, it's right in there. Faith, righteousness, proclamation, just to abbreviate, right? We're to be sowing faith, growing in our righteousness or our understanding of our righteousness in Christ, and then going and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus. That is our focus here. Last week we said, what can man do to us? If God is for us, who can be against us? We need to be encouraged in this.
Yes.
We need to be told this every day if we have to until we absolutely, firmly believe it. Amen? Until we are not moved, until we are unshakable, unmovable off of the rock of Jesus. But look at verse 15 of that passage we were just sharing. It says, but speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. He is our firm foundation. You know, we've been talking, I think Gene originally had a word from God talking about a shaking happening, a shaking. Another word came forth in prayer about shaking going on, and I'm telling you, if you are not standing squarely on the firm foundation of Jesus, man, it's going to crumble. It's going to crumble. But what does the word say? You know, 1,000 at your side, 10,000 at your right hand may fall, but only your eyes will see. Only your eyes will see it if you are on that firm foundation. You got to remain planted on that firm foundation of Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
He is our firm foundation. But last week we started talking about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit is to... I think I gave it an analogy like it has to maneuver us. He has to maneuver us through this life. Through this life. Maneuvering us. I don't know why. I wrote down Popeye and spinach, and I have no recollection of why I put that down there. And it just tickled me because I looked and I was like, anybody? Okay, did anybody ever watch that when they were young, growing up? Popeye, the cartoon, right? And what was his famous? I am what I am. I am what I am. I am what I am. Why is that in my notes? I think it's because... Okay, I remember. I think it's because what was Popeye's spinach to him? It's his strength, right? That's where he got his courage from, right? I mean, he'd be in a down and out. He'd be all tied up. Brutus would have him all tied up against the mast or something. And Seagull would fly by and dump spinach in his mouth or something. And he'd blow out his pipe and he'd break the ropes and stuff. And it was his strength. It was what propelled him. The Holy Spirit is our spinach. That's where I was trying to get to. The Holy Spirit is our power, not spinach. Thank God for spinach. The Holy Spirit is our spinach. The Holy Spirit is our power. It has to blow in our life. Woo, that's a stretch, isn't it? Praise God. The Holy Spirit is maneuver. It says in John 16, verse 13, it says, He will lead and guide us into all truth. Let me just turn there and read that whole passage, John chapter 16, verse 13. Popeye, Lord help me. 16, verse 13 says this out of the Amplified. It says, but when He, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit, comes, He will guide you into all the truth, the whole, full truth. For He will not speak His own message on His own authority, but He will tell whatever He hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to Him, and He will announce and declare to you the things that are to come, that will happen in the future. So as we seek God, and that's what I was referencing when I said about this land, you know, we seek the Holy Spirit, and He'll show us what the purpose of that land is. I believe that. I believe that. But the Holy Spirit does not speak on His own authority. And that's why we can trust Him to maneuver us through this life. Because He doesn't speak on His own authority. He speaks on the authority of God. He only speaks what He hears the Lord saying. Amen?
Amen.
What does that look like to you and me? How is that practical to you and me? Let me give you an example that happened just last week. A personal example to me. Just last week, a friend of mine reached out with encouragement and warning to me in a dream that they had. I believe that dream was prompted by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit showed this person something. And that person communicated this to me. And I believe that's one way how He leads and guides us. He can give us dreams, right? Visions. But He can give other people dreams and visions for us. And as long as they're obedient to share that, that helps us. It helps maneuver us through this life. Amen? Verse 14 of that same chapter, chapter 16 of John, verse 14 says, He, the Holy Spirit, will honor and glorify me because He will take of, that's receive, and draw upon what is mine, and will reveal, declare, disclose, transmit it to you. He will do that. And sometimes it's through other people. Amen? How many times do we get insight or a nudge or a knowing or a sensing or an unction or a discerning? How many times do we get those things and we ignore them? Or how many times do we act on them? You know, sometimes you can get a nudge from the Holy Spirit or like that person, a dream, a discerning, and someone else can do that. Sometimes, how many have ever received something like that and it sounded so ridiculous that there was no way that you were going to share that? Yes. But how many of you have gotten something like that and it was so ridiculous and you did share it and then later on you found out why you shared that and what it meant to that person, that individual, when you shared it? And what if you had not shared it? The Holy Spirit. If Christ is our unshakable, unmovable foundation, then the wind of the Holy Spirit propels us forward and is how we maneuver in this life. And I say, let Him propel us. Let Him lead us. Sometimes I think we don't give the Holy Spirit enough attention or credit. Can I say it that way? God created, right? Go back to Genesis. God created. What did He do on the seventh day? He rested. I believe He's resting still. Jesus came into the earth. Jesus was on the cross, giving His life for us. And right before His breath, last breath, what did He say? It is finished. And where did He go? At the right hand of the Father. Seated with the Father. So God is resting. Jesus said it's finished, what He came to accomplish. But who did He send? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was sent. The Holy Spirit is here within us, among us. The Holy Spirit is still doing a work. Amen? Sometimes I don't think we pay enough attention to the work of the Holy Spirit. To establish us, the church, with power. Isn't that what He said? He said, go and wait. When He, the Holy Spirit, has come, you will be endued with power from on high. Did He say that? So how do we know? How do we know that we're headed in the right direction? How do we know we are being maneuvered and led by the Holy Spirit? How do we know? Well, we said the Greek word for Holy Spirit is pneuma, right? The wind, that breath. And y'all, I may have shared this with you before, but I don't know if any of you are sailors. And I don't mean like Navy, like engines and big ships. I'm talking sailing, like with sails. But when you sail, the mainsail has these things called telltales. I may have shared this before. They're called telltales, and they're strings. And they run down most of the sail, the mainsail. And when you were heading into the wind, or when you were sailing, those telltales tell you whether you're heading in the right direction or whether you're heading with maximum efficiency, I guess maybe I should say. And what they do is there's one on each side of the sail. And you can see them, they'll line up. So when you're going through the wind and those tails are coming back this way, they'll line up with each other when you are going in the right direction. And when you're not, they'll tell you. One will be flopping or they'll both be flopping. But when they're lined up and they're perpendicular to the sail or to the mast, you know you're heading in the right direction. So what are the church's telltales that we're heading in the right direction, or us individually? Well, Jesus said what? You will know a tree by its fruit. Right? Turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Is this encouraging to you today? You know, I only intend to remind you of what you should already know through your own study of the Scripture. If you are coming in here on Sunday or any other day expecting something new, I'm just here to tell you, I'm just repeating what's in the Word. It's not new, but it is something that we need to hear over and over and over. Amen? Matthew chapter 12. Let me read from verse 30. Let me see if I want to use... Is this right? Uno momento, por favor. What is your fruit? Okay, so let me read out of the Amplified, verse 30 of chapter 12, and I'm going to go down to 37. It says, "He who's not with me, definitely on my side, is against me, and he who does not definitely gather with me and for me." What? Oh, I am sorry. Let me start over. Verse 30 again. "He who is not with me definitely on my side is against me, and he who does not definitely gather with me and for my side scatters. Therefore I tell you, every sin and blasphemy, every evil, abuse of injurious speaking or indignity against sacred things can be forgiven men, but blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not and cannot be forgiven. And whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but whoever speaks against the Spirit, the Holy One, will not be forgiven either in this world or the age and age or in the world and age to come. Either make the tree sound, healthy and good, and its fruit sound, healthy and good, or make the tree rotten, diseased and bad, and its fruit rotten, diseased and bad. For the tree is known and recognized and judged by its fruit." By its fruit. He goes on to say, "You offspring of vipers, how can you speak good things when you are evil, wicked? For out of the fullness, the overflow, the superabundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man from his inner good treasure flings forth good things, and the evil man out of his inner evil storehouse flings forth evil things. But I tell you, on the day of judgment, men will have to give account for every idle, inoperative, non-working word they speak. For by your words you will be justified and acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned and sentenced." But let's go back to verse 33. says, either make the tree sound and its fruit sound, or make the tree rotten and its fruit rotten. For the tree is known and recognized and judged by its fruit. You see, your fruit, the fruit that you bear, will be your telltale if you're headed in the right direction. And we know from Genesis that your fruit produces after its own kind, right? Fruit produces after its own kind. If you plant an apple tree, oranges aren't going to grow on it. Unless you get some weird hybrid that has been spliced in there and you create that. No, in the natural. Fruit produces after its own kind. And take the parable of the sower. We know this, right? When you sow the seed of the word in your heart, if it's good ground, it's going to produce good fruit. And it's going to multiply, right? 30, 60, 100 fold. What is your fruit? Is your tree bearing fruit? Better yet, is it multiplying fruit? Examine yourself. Examine ourselves. We got to examine ourselves, people. Well, what is the fruit that you're talking about, Todd? Well, we know what the fruit of the Spirit is, don't we? Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. I got to count on my fingers so I know that I get them all. Did I get them all?
Yes.
Okay. Kindness? Did I say kindness? Okay. Did I say faithfulness? All right. Good. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the fruit of the Spirit. Do you see these? Are you bearing this fruit in your life? And then take Ephesians 5, verse 8 through 10. I'll just read it. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. When we bear good fruit, it is proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Hence, i.e., flashing light bulb, we're heading in the right direction. Amen? Why did Jesus manifest on the earth? Why did Jesus come to the earth? Well, we know from 1 John 3:8 it said to destroy the works of the devil. Right? Jesus manifested on earth. At least one of the reasons is to destroy the works of the devil. Well, sin is definitely a work of the devil. So we know that's true. Amen? What are some other fruit of the enemy? Could we say anti-fruit? I don't know. I don't know if that's such a thing. Anti-matter, there's anti-matter. So anti-fruit. Well, if you think of the fruit of the Spirit and then you just take the opposite, right, or antonym of those things, hate, sadness, turmoil, impatience, evil, envious, violent, unfaithful, destructive behavior. Sounds like what we're hearing on the news almost every day, doesn't it? Have you seen a list like that before in the Word? Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. All mountains be moved. All chains will be loosed. I like that song, Reggie. This is your intermission while I flip through my Bible. You get to hear me sing. Long mountains. Okay. Get on with the reading of the Word, son. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Are you there yet? Let me read this out of the Amplified, verses 1 through 3. Have we seen a list like what I just read? The anti-fruit list. It says, verse 1, but understand this, that in the last days will come or set in perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. Why? For people will be lovers of self and utterly self-centered. Lovers of money and aroused by an inordinate, greedy desire for wealth. Proud and arrogant and contemptuous boasters. They will be abusive, blasphemous, scoffing, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and profane. They will be without natural human affection, callous and inhuman, relentless, admitting of no truce or appeasement. They will be slanderers, false accusers, troublemakers, intemperate and loose in morals and conduct, uncontrolled. Sounds like the opposite of self-control. And fierce, haters of good. Haters, not lovers. That's why I love Virginia, because Virginia is for lovers. Y'all don't have that bumper sticker. I was an exchange student to Germany. I think I don't know if I've told you. When Pastor Rob used to say that, he used to say, I think I've told you this before, but I'm going to tell you again. I said, I'll never say that. I'll never do that. And here I find myself doing it. Pastor Rob, you taught me well. When I was an exchange student to Germany, we were told, and we were just high school students, we were told that it's respectful, commonplace to bring a gift to your, I was staying in a house with a family. I was a host. Yeah, those were my hosts, my host family. And so I brought them a bumper sticker that said, Virginia is for lovers. And you know what? My host brother slapped it right on his car, and it's just probably still there today, that little duck. Anyways, where was I going with that? They were haters. They're not lovers. That's what we're hearing about. That's what we're seeing. And then consider Jude. Turn over to Jude. I am going to read the entire book of Jude. Y'all are saying, what? We'll be here all day. Some of y'all get it. If I can find it. All mountains be moved. All chains will be loosed. Where am I at? Golly. Yes, I know that. Why can't I? I mean, it's like my Bible's skipping right over it. I'm like, I'm in John. There's Revelation. Where's Jude? There. Thank you. Gosh. The entire book of Jude. Are you ready? Get your listening ears on. I'm going to skip around. I'm not going to read the entire thing. Start in verse 4. Have we heard a list like the anti-fruit list I just shared? Is it rampant in the world today? Who is your firm foundation? What are you standing on? What fruit are you bearing? What is your tree bearing? What fruit are you bearing? The word says, examine yourself. Verse 4 says, for certain men have crept in stealthily, gaining entrance secretly by a side door. We know who the true door is, right? Their doom was predicted long ago, ungodly, impious, profane persons who pervert the grace, the spiritual blessing and favor of our God into lawlessness, wow, and wantonness and immorality, and disown and deny our sole master and Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. It's like wolves in sheep's clothing, right? The Bible talks about that. Wolves coming in sheep's clothing, coming in by another door, not the door of Jesus. Let me skip down to verse 8. It says, nevertheless, in like manner, these dreamers also corrupt the body, scorn and reject authority and government, and revile and libel and scoff at heavenly glories, the glorious ones. Is this ringing true with any of us? Verse 10, but these men revile, scoff, and sneer at anything they do not happen to be acquainted with and do not understand. And whatever they do understand physically, that which they know by mere instinct, like irrational beasts, by these they corrupt themselves and are destroyed and perish. The lust of the flesh. Verse 11, but woe to them, for they have run riotously in the way of Cain and have abandoned themselves for the sake of gain it offers them, following the error of Balaam, and have perished in rebellion like that of Korah. You know, the word, what does the word say about if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? Man, that is what is happening sometimes these days, is they're out seeking their self-centered glory, their own lust of the flesh, and they're trying to gain what is in the world, but they're losing their soul. And that's where we come into play, church. Like I just read, we have to proclaim the good news of Jesus. Timothy talks about saving some out of the fire by reaching into the fire and pulling them out. And some we save with our words, our kind words and words of love. But that is why we are here. Let us not lose sight of that. Let us not forget what Jesus died for. Amen? Let me go on. Verse 12. These are hidden reefs, what these people that we're talking about. Hidden reefs, elements of danger in your love feasts, where they boldly feast sumptuously, carousing together in your midst, without scruples, providing for themselves alone. They are clouds without water, swept along by the winds, trees without fruit at the late autumn gathering time, twice doubly dead, lifeless, and plucked up by the roots. They are being blown around by every wind that comes across their path. Whatever feels right at the moment, that's the direction they're blown in. Whatever seems right to them, whatever seems right to them, that is the way they go. But they have no fruit, or at least good fruit. Verse 13, wild waves of the sea, flinging up foam of their own shame and disgrace, wandering stars for whom the gloom of eternal darkness has been reserved forever. Let me jump down to 16. These are inveterate murmurers, grumblers who complain. Wow, murmurers, grumblers, and complainers. There's some fruit or anti-fruit right there. Who complain of their lot in life, going after their own desires, controlled by their passions. Their talk is boastful and arrogant, and they claim to admire men's persons and pay people flattering compliments to gain advantage. No self-control. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions which were made by the apostles, the special messengers of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. They told you beforehand, in the last days, in the end time, there will be scoffers who seek to gratify their own unholy desires, following after their own ungodly passions. It is these who are agitators, setting up distinctions and causing divisions. Does that sound familiar? Merely sensual creatures, carnal, worldly-minded people, devoid of the Holy Spirit and destitute of any higher spiritual life. Why are they like this? Because they do not possess the Holy Spirit. Therefore, they bear the anti-fruit of the devil and they go in the wrong direction. Their telltales are not lining up. Verse 20, but you, somebody say me, beloved, build yourselves up, founded on your most holy faith. Make progress, rise like an edifice higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit. Guard and keep yourselves in the love of God. Expect and patiently wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, which will bring you unto life eternal. And then verse 25, to the one only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, splendor, majesty, might, and dominion, and power, and authority, before all time, and now, and forever, unto all the ages of eternity. Amen and amen. You see, the real power of the gospel, the real power that you and I possess, is the power of the Holy Spirit to transform a soul. That's the real power. From its sin nature, yes, absolutely, but also from its anti-fruit spirit or influences. Think about it. If you're sick, do you have peace? Do you have joy? Do you have patience? I know some sick people that ain't very patient. If you're prone to lying, do you experience goodness, kindness, faithfulness, or self-control? No, because they're mutually exclusive, right? You can't exhibit fruit of the enemy and exhibit fruit of the Spirit at the same time. You just can't. What am I saying in all of this? Let me finish with this. Just like those songs that we sung today, it all points back to Jesus. This entire book, right here, the inspired Word of God, all points to Jesus. The culmination of this book is Jesus. So we need to, one, beware of the wolves, and two, examine ourselves, examine our own fruit. How many know that if you prune a fruit tree, it produces more fruit if you do it correctly? Don't do it like I do. Don't give me a chainsaw. Nikki hates when I get my chainsaw out and say I'm going to go trim some trees. I've killed many a tree with my chainsaw because I did not prune it correctly. But when you prune a tree, right, when you cut off the dead things, when you cut off those that don't produce, or when you cut off something that doesn't belong there, when you prune a tree, it bears more fruit, better fruit, healthier fruit, right? So let us do that to our tree. Let us examine our own tree. And if we're bearing any of that fruit that I talked about that didn't sound too good, let us cut it off. Lop it off, man. If you need a chainsaw, I got one. I'll lend it to you. But let us always remember that Christ is at the center. I hope that He is at the center of your life. I hope that He is your all in all, your everything. You're above and beyond.